We're holding on some tests. Amud Aleph, the sixth line of the wide lines. The line begins Psicha. We're continuing with the list of remedies that the Gemara has been giving for various kinds of illnesses or conditions or what have you. So the Gemara continues. L'dama d'asi minchira, when a person has a nosebleed. So a remedy for it, Lysi Gavra Koyen Dishme Levi, bring a Koyen whose name is Levi, Velichtivle Levi Lamafreya, and that person should write out the word Levi backwards. So either it means, so in other words, he writes Yud Lamed Vav. Maybe it means he writes it in that order. Maybe it means he first writes the Lamed, then goes before it and writes the Vav, whatever. And that's a remedy for it. One idea is Api Kabbalah and Api Chassidus. You have the idea that Levi, the Kohenim are associated with Chesed, and Levi is associated with Gvura. So maybe the idea is, and since blood is also an evocation of Gvura, then maybe the idea is by writing the name backward, by having a Kohen who's an Isha Chesed, whose name is Levi, representing Gvura, and having him, so to speak, turn Gvura backwards by writing it backwards, then maybe the idea is that gets rid of the nosebleed. The Eloi, if not, the Maharshal says with this and with a lot of the other ones, we were going to have one thing and then it's going to say the Eloi, then something else. Then what it means is, the Maharshal explains, it means if you can't do the first one, then you do the second one. It's not saying if the first one didn't work, because the Gemara is, the Pashtus is going to be bringing them in the order in which they're more likely to work. So therefore, so you're not going to say if this one doesn't work, you use another one that's less likely to work. Rather, it would mean if you can't find a Kohen whose name is Levi, then an alternative is Laisi Inishme Alma, bring somebody, a regular person, v'nichtivle, and that person should write the following out, Ano papi shiva bar sumki lamafreya. You should write out the words, Ano papi, I am papi shiva bar sumki, and the person should write that backwards. Again, it's some kind of lachash, some kind of spell where writing it backwards is effective for this. The Eloi, and if not, then if you can't find somebody to write that, then instead he should write, maybe it means the person himself who has the nosebleed, should write another spell, Tam Dlib Me Kesef, Tam Dlib Me Pagam. The taste of a bucket in water of silver, the taste of a bucket in water of pagan. And that's another lachash for this purpose. The Eloi, and if not, if you don't do that, then Lacey Ikra das Pasta, then you take roots of aspasta, which is alfalfa or something like that, some kind of plant that's grown for animal food. The Ashla depuria atika, and a rope from an old bed, the kurtsa, and paper, and paper made from Rashi describes that kurtsa is paper made from rags. The word kurtsa might actually be distantly related to the word card in English. Umuriki and saffron, the sunka de l'oliva, and the red stuff that grows on a lulav. Probably we're talking about, when you buy a lulav, you have that moch, you have that the brown stuff all over it. Pashtus, we're talking about that. Anyway, you take all those. The niklinu bahadi adodi, burn all those ingredients together. The lacy gvava de amra, then take a hank of wool. The nigdol tauti psilosa. Spin two and spin two or twist rather two wicks out of it, two long skinny pieces of the wool. The litmish b'chola, dip the two wicks in vinegar, vinigadbel b'kitma, hadain, and then roll them around in the ashes that you get from burning all those ingredients together. Vinesa, and put the and then he puts the then he puts the two wicks into his nostrils, and that would help stop the bleeding. the Eloi, and if not, again, he doesn't have those available. Lechsi amas amayim da azlas mi mizrach klapi mayrev. He should go find a water channel or a canal or whatever that flows from east to west. He should go and stand straddling it with one foot on each side of the water channel. Then he should go reach down and get some mud with his right hand from under his left foot, over yada de smala mitusekara de yamina, and then use his left hand to take some mud from under his right foot on the right bank of the thing. The nigdol tauti psilosed amra. Again, he should twist make two long skinny wicks made out of wool. The nitmish betina, and dip them in those in that mud that he picked up. The nesib benechire, and put those wicks in his nostrils. The Eloi, and if not, he doesn't have that available either. Lace of Tuse Marziva, then let him sit under a drain pipe where rainwater drains off a house. The Nesu Maya Velishtuale, they should bring water and pour it down the drain pipe so it leaks down onto him. The Lemu, and then they should tell him, Kiheki de Paski Hani Maya, just as this water is stopping. Lifsik domid plonya by plonissa, so should the blood of plony by plonis stop. So between all of these methods, one of them, whichever one you can do will work. And apparently, again, the Gemara is listing them in the order in which they're most to least likely to be effective. But between all of them, something will work. Next. Now, if a person has bleeding from his mouth, now we don't just mean, for example, like, you know, he has sore gums or whatever. We mean that the blood is coming from some internal bleeding. So the first thing we have to find out is, but the first thing we need to do is test that blood using a piece of straw from wheat. If we see that the straw sticks to the blood, then we know mereya kasi. Then we know that blood is coming from the lungs, from the whole breathing system, the islay takanta, and then there will be a way to fix it up. As the Gemara is going to say soon, there is a remedy for that. The Eloi, if the straw doesn't stick to the blood, mikavda kaasi, then we know that blood is coming from the liver or from someplace in the digestive system, velesle takanta, and then there's no way of fixing it up. So the Gemara interjects, so what are you telling me? You're saying that if the bleeding is coming from the lungs, then it's not so bad, and there's a way to fix it. There's a way to cure the person. But if it's coming from the liver, then it's really bad, and then that's it. The person's a goner. But when it comes to the dinim of Terefus, we learn the other way around. We have one of the things that makes an animal treif is if the liver is completely gone, as opposed to the Gemara says over there, if there's certain parts of the liver left, then the liver will eventually regenerate itself. It's pretty much the only organ in the body that can do that, but that can regenerate from a small part. But on the other hand, then the Mishnah continues, Hareyesh and Nikvah Shechasra, if the lungs have a hole or if there's part of them missing. So we see that the lungs are much more the lungs are much more essential, in the sense even a little bit of the lung missing is enough to make an animal treif, whereas with the liver, you have a much larger amount can be missing, and the animal is still kosher. The Gemara is assuming, as it usually does, that for the most part, the rules of treifus for animals are similar to treifus with people, and there are in fact stories to bear that kind of thing out. One interesting one, by the way, worth digressing to tell the story. There was a chassid named Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu from of Drivin. He was a rav in a city called Drivin in Russia or whatever. He was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek. At one point, he became very sick with some kind of lung disease, and it so happens that this particular disease is something where the Mechaber and the Ramah argue about whether it makes an animal treif. That Amma holds, the Mechaber holds the animal is kosher, that Amma holds the animal is treif. sort of Yosef Eliyahu thought to himself, living here in Chutz La'aretz, in Russia, the Mora D'Asra is the Ramah. We paskin like the Ramah in most Jewish communities in Europe, in Ashkenazic communities, and therefore that means that I'll be Torah, I'll be Halacha, then this condition makes me Trefa, and then I'm not going to survive it. Instead, he thought to himself, let me move to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the Mora D'Asra is the Mechaber. They usually paskin like him over there. And there, then the Halacha will be like him, and I'll live through this. And sure enough, he moved to Eretz Yisrael and lived another 20-odd years. Anyway, but getting back to the Gemara over here, the point is, the Gemara is assuming that what applies to Trefus of animals also applies to Trefus of people. So then we see that a problem with the lungs is much more serious than a problem with the liver. Why are you telling us that bleeding from the lungs that a person can manage and you can cure him, but bleeding from the liver, then he's a goner? Amalei, sort of Ashi answers, kiven de mipume ka'osti. Once it's reached, that's true. But once it's reached the point already where the blood is coming from his mouth, Amer, we have to say, it's muchi itmach. What must have happened is the liver must have dissolved. In other words, it must really completely be gone, and there's nothing left of it. Because, in other words, I mean, you're talking about the liver is pretty far down in the body. If blood is coming all the way up from it to his mouth, then it means we're not just talking about that something of the liver is missing. We're talking about the whole thing must have dissolved, and that's why this blood is pouring out. And therefore, yes, then as the Mishnah says over there, if the whole liver is gone, then you have a problem. So that is why, in fact, if the straw test finds that it comes from the liver, then there's no hope for it, b'derech hateva, but if it comes from the lungs, then there is something you can do about it. So, omamar, so we said, ime reya ka'osi isle takanta. So if the blood is coming from the lungs, and again, we see that by the straw test, isle takanta. So we said, there is a way of fixing it up. There is a way of curing him. So, my takante, what exactly is that cure? So the Gemara says, "Leisa shiva kuni mi pirma de silka." He should take seven fistfuls of cut up leaves of cut up leaves of beets. Not just cut up, but really, Rashi uses a French word over here that translates to something like mashed up. So seven fistfuls of those. Vishiva buni pirma de kauti, and seven fistfuls of cut up or mashed up leek leaves, v'chamisha buni prida, and five fistfuls of prida. Rashi gives two explanations. One is that it's a type of grass. The other one, Rashi says, is that it means jujubes, or I don't know how they're pronounced exactly, but whatever, some kind of berry like fruit that grows on certain kinds of thorn bushes. The Gaonim have, with a number of these things, the Gaonim have other explanations. In this case, with Prida, they say that it means dry, dried pomegranate seeds. This is one of the reasons why we can't use these remedies nowadays, because we don't know for sure what exactly the Gemara meant by Prida. Anyway, then he should also take three handfuls of lentils, vikuna de kamoina, and a handful of kamoin, cumin, it's a spice, vikuna de chavli, and a fistful of chavli, which chavli literally means ropes, but it could mean that. It could mean instead. The word might be chavli, with a lamed before the bays, which would be a certain kind of plant. So you take all those. Then you take an equal amount, equal to all of those, of kanta from a firstborn animal. Kanta is you have in the digestive system the intestines. You get to a point in the intestines where they wind one round the other in a spiral kind of, and between the spirals, between the folds, you have layers of fat. The idea is, in the digestive system, the food is broken down over there in the large intestine, the small intestine, whichever it is. the nutrients go into the bloodstream through blood vessels that are in that fat, and then the remainder of it goes out and then is ejected from the body. So that fat that goes together with the intestines over there is called kanta. It's kosher fat, by the way. The Gemara mentions elsewhere. So here you take you have these seven fistfuls of this and seven fistfuls of that and five of this and so forth, and then an amount equal to all of that of kanta fat from a firstborn animal, vashal, and then you cook them all together, v'leichel, and he eats them. And then after that, he should drink good, strong beer. Or the word might be tovas, which means good. Might also mean tevas. It might mean beer that was brewed in tevas. Whatever the case, that's the remedy for this thing where he has some kind of problem with his breathing system that's causing blood to come from his lungs. Next. L'chocha, when a person has a toothache on his molars, so Tosfos points out the word chocha in here, Rashi explains that it means the back teeth, the molars. There are other places in Shas where Rashi explains that chocha means the gums, but Tosfos in fact points out that in many other places it wouldn't work. For example, there's a Gemara in Pesachim that mentions having them extracted. You obviously don't have your gums extracted, only your teeth. So, and you have other examples like that. So Tosfos over here and in other places explains that the word kocha necessarily means molars, like the way Rashi explains it over here. Anyway, so here you have a person who has a pain, he has a toothache in his molars, in his back teeth. So Amar Rabbi Bar Avuna, Lasi Tuma Yechida, he should start by taking a single garlic clove, meaning, in other words, normally garlic, you buy a head of garlic, it has a lot of cloves in it. Here you have a lot of individual pieces of garlic. Here you have one. You want one where it grew singly, where the bulb grew with only one garlic clove on it. So you take that. The nimrase b'mishcha u'milcha, grind it up together with oil and salt. The nesve atufroi de'uyona dahu gisa de'kayevle. Put it on the fingernail of the thumb of the side where it hurts. So if the toothache is on the right side of his mouth, then he should be putting this mixture on the thumbnail of the on his right thumbnail, and the same thing with the left. Vinahadra like dan for delisha. And then he should put around this mixture, he should put a ring of dough to prevent it from going onto the rest of his figure. Then he's dire the bistri. He should be very careful that none of this mixture gets on his skin to koshi lechivra, because it can cause him to get saras. Next, lechinchi, when a person has pain. Of chinchi, so Rashi describes that means sometimes in the Gemara chinchi means the gums, but here Rashi explains that it means that it's boils or blisters or whatever that develop inside the throat. So for those, the Gemara is going to say you need a multi-step process in order to cure those. First of all, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, chumti. First of all, Rabbi Yochanan tells you, chumti, the leaves of a type, the leaves of a plant called chumti, it's translated, it's called in English pellitory. It's a plant related to chamomile. Sometimes you find chamomile tea, for example. So this is a plant related to that. So leaves of that, ki mamru, are just as good for the purpose of curing this kind of helping a person suffering from this kind of thing as mamru, which is fennel. So fennel was known to be a good thing for this. So Rabbi Yochanan tells you that the leaves of chumti, the leaves of this chamomile-like plant, are good for that. The ikra de chumti odif mi mamru, and then the roots of chumti are even better for this purpose than mamru. So what do you do? V'ninkut b'pume, what you should have is the person who has these blisters or boils or whatever in his throat should put some of the chumti leaves or even better, the chumti roots in his mouth, hani wa'ikumi, and that will prevent it from growing. That'll prevent the blisters from getting even larger. Then Lavashuli, the next thing you want to do is you want the blisters to ripen, meaning a person has a blister or an infection or something, so you have pus inside it. You want to get it to the point that you want the pus to collect in one place, so then afterwards it'll burst open and it'll come out. So now what you do is lacy pari deresh nafya, you take bran from the top of the sieve, meaning in other words that so you have when you sift grain, when you sift flour, so you have bran in the flour, so Rashi describes, you have large pieces of bran that sit at the top, that remain at the top of the sifter, and they don't go through. So you take some of that, you take some of those large pieces of bran, but tlafchi ba'afrayu, you also take some lentils with the dirt on them from when you pulled them from the ground. Some pashtus, we're not just talking about the lentil seeds, we're talking about the lentil plant, roots and dirt and all. The shuv lilta, then you take shuv lilta also, which is in English, it's called fenugreek. You have it, they use it a lot in Yemenite cooking, particularly, they call it filba. Anyway, so you take that also. V'chumarta d'kshusa, then you take also the flour of kshus. Kshus is hops that are used in making beer. So you take the flour of that. You take all of that, you mix them together. V'ninket kam guza b'pume, and take the size of a walnut of that mixture and put it in his mouth. And that will help, the blisters ripen, so to gather all the pus in one place, so that now they're ready to burst open and for the pus to drain out. The next thing is liftuchi. So the next thing is you want now the blisters have ripened and now they're ready for the pus to come out. How do you get it out? Limpach lechavri, chavri, tachli, chivarta, begili de chitza. Somebody else should go and blow white tachli. Tachli is a plant. It's called cress in English. White cress is a white version of that plant, or maybe a related plant called pepperwort. Anyway, the other person should take and blow some of that, the gila de chitza, using a wheat straw, and blow into it. The idea being, in other words, that he's going to blow it at so Rashi describes specifically, we're taking the seeds of these white tachli. So you put them into the straw and you stick the straw down the guy's throat until the area where the blisters are. And the other guy blows through the straw to make the seeds bang against this way the seeds come out from the straw with force, and they hit the blisters and those cause them to burst open. And then finally, once the blisters are burst, lasuki, now you want to heal the area. Now you want to have that it should heal over with normal flesh. So then, lacy after mitula de besakise, take some dust from the shadow of a besakise. So you have a besakise in those days wasn't an actual bathroom. Generally, it was stones arranged in a certain way to make like a low wall, and you know, low wall around the area, and then you'd sit on top of them and do what you need to do. So here you have in the shadow of them there'll be dust. So you take some of that dust, the nigbo bedovsha, and mix that, to knead that with honey, the nechol, and then eat the malile, and that will help to heal the area where the blisters were. So it's a multi-step process to get rid of these blisters and heal them. Next, the Gemara continues, labarsam, when a person is suffering from barsam, different gears over here is karsam. Anyway, Rashi describes, Rashi gives a French word for it that translates as a runny nose. There's another, I've mentioned yesterday, there's a sefer called Midrash HaRefuah that deals with a lot of these things in the Gemara over here, and it explains something else. It can mean a kind of arthritis, or it can mean a situation where a person has pus, where a person has an infection with pus in his brain. Anyway, so what do you do for barsam or karsam? Lacy kipistika de nishdur. He should take an acorn-sized piece of nishdur. which so Rashi translates it as a moniker, which is it's a substance that contains ammonia in it. Like you have ammonia that's used for bathroom cleaner or whatever. So you have some kind of natural substance that has that in it. So you take an acorn sized piece of that. The kiam guza de chelbenisa duvshanisa. You also take a walnut sized piece of sweet chelbena. So usually, we know of chelbena. It's one of the ingredients of the ketores, and it smells bad. But here you have a different kind of chelbena that's sweet. So you take that also. And a spoonful of white honey, and you take a mechuza natla size full of clean clear white wine. So a natla is a keli that holds a revius. This is particularly the size that they use, the standard size that they use in mechuza. A natla is a keli that you use for netilas yadayim. It's one of the reasons, in fact, why netilas yadayim is so called. So here you have the standard size natla that they used in mechuza, held a revius. So you take that amount of clear white wine. Or Rashi just says it doesn't have to be white dafka, but Rashi says the point is not red wine. So apparently it has to be white or off-white or something. V'nishlokinu b'hadi adori, cook all of these ingredients together. V'chi boshel nishdur boshel lekulei, when the nishdur, the ammoniac, is completely cooked, then you know that the whole thing is cooked, and then you have the person drink it, apparently. The eloy, and if not, if you can't find all those ingredients, then lacy revius de chelva de izachivarti. Then you take a revius of milk from a. Then you take a revius of milk from a white goat. Vinitayfe atlas kilchi kaiba. Drip the milk onto three stalks of cabbage. The nivchashe begabza de marmehin, and stir it with a piece of wood from a tree called marmehin, some kind of tree that they knew of under that name. And again, bashal gabza de marmehin, bashal lekule, since out of all those ingredients, it takes the wood the longest to cook, to heat up. So when the piece of marmehin wood is completely cooked, then you know the whole mixture is cooked. The eloy, and if not, then another possibility, if you can't get those ingredients, lacy nafki de kalba chivra, take the waste, the excrement of a white dog, the nigbo benitva, mix it together with nitva, which is like we have in the ketores, not of shchelus v'chelbana, sorry, and in Ella, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says that sorry, it's called sorry among the ingredients of the ketores, so it's balsam in English. So you take the droppings of a white dog, mix them together, knead them together with nataf, with sorry, with balsam, and then you use that. However, the kamad efsher nafgalay nechol. However, as much as possible, if you can use anything else for this kind of condition, don't use that method. Demafrik, because using the dog droppings causes mafrik. Rashi says it pulls apart a person's limbs, and the Oruch gives an exponent, gives a slightly different girsa that says that it makes the person infertile. So it's like the treatment of last resort if there's nothing better available. Next, the Gemara continues. The gira, when a person is suffering from gira, literally the word gira means an arrow. So Rashi describes it with a French word that means like a stabbing pain. So then, lacy gira delilsa. So then, the remedy is a person should take an arrow of lilis. So lilis is the various midrashim mention is a female shed. An arrow of lilis, Rashi describes, is an arrow-shaped stone that falls together with hail. So maybe Rashi means a meteor. Maybe Rashi means a meteorite that's shaped like an arrow. Anyway, whatever it is, you take that. The nipche, turn it over so that the point points downward. v'nishti maya ilavei, and pour water over it, v'nishti, and then drink that water. The Eloi, and if not, if you can't find that, gira de lilisa, leisi mi maya de ishti minyao kalba b'leoya, then you should take some water that a dog drank from at night. However, v'nizdaiho mi giluya, however, he has to be careful that this water wasn't left uncovered. It has to be an area, Rashi says, where there are not snakes commonly found, because if yes, then you have the problem. If the Gemara mentions in many places in Shas that water or other liquids left uncovered where a snake can drink from them, the snake might inject venom into them, and then the water would be poisoned. So you have to be careful that this water that a dog drank from at night was not in an area where there are snakes commonly found and where you might have that problem of gilui. These dinim of gilui, by the way, are brought in the Torah, but they're not really brought in Shulchan Aruch. And many poskim say that nowadays we're not really so careful about it, because most people nowadays don't live in areas where snakes are that prevalent. Nevertheless, there are achronim, we'll talk about, there's still an importance of keeping those halachas. The Shalom HaKadosh mentions it, the Vilna Gaon mentions it. So there are people who are extra careful about it, but most people are not, because we say we don't really live in areas where snakes are that common and there's likely to be venom injected into the water. Okay. Ligiluya. So now that brings us to, if in fact a person drank water that was left uncovered and now he might have drunk some snake venom with it. So the remedy for that is anafka de chamra chaya. Then the remedy for that is an anafka of undiluted wine. And an anafka, the Gemara mentions in other places, is a small cave that holds a revius. So you should drink a revius of undiluted wine. Lemursa, when a person has an abscess of an infection on his someplace on his body that's filled with pus. Then he should drink anafka b'chamra b'ala telona. Then he should drink a revius of wine mixed with red ohala. Ohala is a plant, aloe or something similar to that. So you should drink wine mixed with a revius of a revius of wine mixed with this red aloe. Next, lapurcha de liver. Then when if a person has a condition where his heart is fluttering, so it can mean that he fainted, it can mean that his heart is beating too fast. You even have, in modern medicine, Hatzalah deals with it. Sometimes you have somebody who has fibrillation where the heart is kind of like twitching instead of beating properly. Whatever the case, what you do is lacy tlas brushiosa de sari. You start by taking three chalos made out of barley bread. You soak them in kamcha, which is kutach, or also known as kutach. It's a dip that they used in bavel in those days. It was basically sour cream with salt and breadcrumbs in it. So sort of similar to sour cream or feta cheese or whatever we find in many places in Shas. They would regularly dip their food in it. So you take three loaves of barley bread. You dip them in kamcha, which is less than 40 days old. The nechel, and then he should eat some of that bread dipped in that kamcha of nishtei abasrayu chamra marka, and after that he should drink wine diluted with lots of water. However, Omalei Rav Acha Midifti the Ravina, but Rav Acha Midifti asks Ravina, what good is that going to do? V'choshekin de parach libi. Those kinds of things are going to make him even weaker. Rashi says all of these are weak kind of things, weak bread, I guess, because like barley instead of wheat, weak wine because it's diluted with water, so it's going to make his condition even worse. So Omalei, so Ravina says, you're right. I know the yukra deliver amri. I actually had said that this particular thing of the barley bread and the kamcha and all of and the diluted wine is for a person who has heaviness of the heart. So that would be the opposite of pircha deliver. Pircha deliver is the person is fainting or his heartbeat is too weak or whatever. Here, yukra deliver, heaviness of the heart, would be the other way around. Maybe that is his heartbeat is so it would mean maybe that his heart is beating too strongly, or it would mean maybe that he has maybe angina, which is that he feels that he feels a pain around his heart, whatever. That for that kind of thing, this treatment would be good. L'pircha deliver, and then so what should you do for pircha deliver, where the person is fainting or whatever? So there, the other way around, lazy tlas b'rishiyasa d'chiti. There you should take 3 loaves of wheat bread, v'nishirna b'dusha, and dip them in honey. The nechol, and he should eat those. The nishdei abasrayim chamra chaya, and he should drink after that undiluted wine. That will help for yukra deliver, and then that will help for pircha deliver, and then for yukra deliver, you have the previous one. So, in other words, the idea being that if the person is feeling a heaviness, then you got to give him the stronger treatment, kind of. And if the person is feeling if the person is feeling weak, then you give him something to strengthen him, and vice versa. If he's feeling if his heart is too heavy, feels too heavy, then you give him something to help lighten things up. Okay, next, letzarcha. Then when a person letzarcha deliver, if a person is suffering from tzarcha deliver, which it actually describes as pain in the heart. So before we had something where the person is fainting or the other or whatever, Rashi hadn't defined what kavda deliver is. Rashi had said yukur deliver, meant Rashi should deliver covered all of, he feels that his heart is heavy, whatever that means. Here we mean that he feels a pain in his heart. So it could be heartburn, could be angina, could be any of a number of different things. Anyway, so for that, the lacy tlas beye ninya, he should take 3 eggs of ninya. So ninya, Rashi says, is mint, and eggs, Marshall says, means the size of 3 eggs of mint. Obeyasa de kamona, and an egg-sized piece of cumin, obeyasa de shumshumi, and an egg-sized amount of sesame seeds. The lechon, he should eat that, then he should eat that concoction. Next, lekeev meye, when a person has a stomach ache, lacy tlas meya purple arichta, he should take 300 long peppers. Now, peppers in the Gemara, we have to remember, doesn't mean like we think of bell peppers or hot peppers or whatever. All of those are native to America. They didn't have them back then. Peppers in Gemara terminology means fruit, means the fruit of the pepper tree. Nowadays we get black pepper and white pepper and whatever from it. So you have those ones that come as small berries that are round, and then you have another related species where the fruits are long and skinny, and that's what the Gemara means by pilpul arichta. So you got 300 of those. And every day the person who's suffering from the stomach ache should drink 100 of those mixed with wine. So he soaks 100 of them in wine and then drinks that wine for 3 days successively. And the Gemara says, in fact, Rovin de Min Neresh, Ovid Lo the Brate de Ravashi, Meyav Achamshin Mahani Didan, Rovin from Neresh one time prepared such a concoction for Ravashi's daughter, who was suffering from stomachache. He did that. He did 150 of regular peppers, the Itasia, and she was cured. So we see you don't necessarily need 100 of the long ones where those might be difficult to get. 150 regular ones, regular round ones will work just as well. Next, lakutsa, when a person has worms in their stomachs, so like tapeworms or something like that. So the cure for that is anafka de chamra ba'atrofa de ara. The cure for that is an anafka, again, a revius of wine, with a leaf of laurel. So I guess it means you soak the leaf in water, and you soak the leaf in the wine or something, and then you drink the wine. Lakirtza chivra, when the person is suffering from white worms, so the previous one were worms of some other color. Here we're talking about specifically white worms. So then the remedy for that, lacy bizra gaugila, you take seeds of gaugila, which is a plant the Gemara mentions in a bunch of places in Shast. In American English, it's called arugula. In British English, it's called rocket. You can find it, and you can find it. You go to the greengrocer. You'll find it over there. They use it in salads and things. Anyway, so you take seeds of that. You tie it up in a piece of cotton cloth. And you soak it in water. And then he drinks that concoction. But he should be careful about the seeds themselves, to not actually swallow them. If he swallows the seeds, they might pierce through his stomach or his intestines. So you have to be careful to only drink the water in which the seeds were soaked. Next. Lemesar, if a person has diarrhea and he needs to stop it, he needs to bind himself up. So then the thing to take is sisin retiva b'maya, is to take dry sisin soaked in water. Sisin is a plant mentioned in a number of places in Shas. In English, it's called pennyroyal. It's distantly related to mint. So you take sisin retiva b'maya. So you take fresh sisin and soak them in water. Lemishra, the other way around, when a person is constipated and needs to loosen himself up, you also use sisin, but they use yaveshta b'maya. They use dry sisin soaked in water. The simonach and the simon, so you don't mix them up, is itza retiva de sochonara. Think of fresh itza, which is a type of grass which is used to dam up rivers. So in other words, sometimes you have, for whatever reason, like we learned earlier in Masechta, for example, sometimes you need to temporarily stop the flow of a river to be able to water your fields or whatever. So in those days, they would use for that, to make a makeshift dam like that, they would use a type of grass. They would use a type of grass called itza, and they would use it fresh, and they'd put bundles of it into the river to stop the flow. So that helps you remember that it's the fresh sisin that are good for stopping the flow, and the other way around, the dry sisin that are good for getting things going again. Next, latachla, when a person has an illness in his spleen, which in particular Rashi says what happens is the spleen is bloated and overgrown. Because of some kind of illness. So Lacey Shev Bini Demaya, he should take seven leeches that grow in the water, Vinyabshinu Batula, dry them in a shady area, so not out in the sun, but dry them outdoors, but someplace where it's shady. And every day he should drink two or three of them mixed with wine. An interesting point in that regard is, I mean, the leeches, of course, are not kosher. They're a type of worm. So how is he allowed to do that? So one answer, in fact, is once they're dried up, then they're not considered treif anymore, and therefore you'd be allowed to. Another answer, so one answer is it's allowed because of refuah, because otherwise this condition with an infected spleen could be dangerous. But another explanation is that it's allowed because they're dried up. This is a negeya more lahalacha as far as other areas. For example, you have certain other kinds of things made from insects that are dried up. You have a shellac, for example, that's used sometimes in certain kinds of candies. You have a dye called carmine, which is made from certain insects that are dried and crushed. And you have a big discussion among the poskim whether such things are allowed or not. You can find, for example, candies and things nowadays that are made with carmine, and they'll have some rabbanim will give a hechsher on it, others will not. So that kind of thing comes up all the time as far as this kind of thing of dried insects or whatever. Is there any heter to eat them after they're dried up? So one answer over here is yes. The other answer is over here, we're talking only mishum refuah is different. Okay, continues the Gemara. V'iloi, if you can't get a hold of those, leisi tachla b'tzipautad la'iftach, then you should take the spleen of a goat that has never given birth, v'nitachye b'tanura, and then roast it in an oven, v'nuki lahade, and then stand in front of the oven, v'nema, and say, ki heichad yavish hai tachla, just as this spleen is drying up, Niyabish tachlaya de Pliny by Plonissa, so should the spleen of Pliny by Plonis, meaning himself, dry up, in other words, and then shrink and go back to normal size. the Eloi, and if not, if he can't do that, he should still take the spleen of the animal, but instead of putting it in an oven, let's say he doesn't have an oven available, and then he should put it, he should stick it between the rows of bricks in a wall, of a debase chadda, of a new house, the name of Hochi, and say the same lach. The Eloi, and if not, if he can't do that either, Livki Shachva de Shachav Shabsa, then he should go look and find a person who passed away on Shabbos. Go find in his neighborhood somebody who passed away on Shabbos. The Nishkale Yodev Noisve Atachle, take the dead person's hand and put it on his spleen, on the outside of his body, opposite where the spleen is on the inside. The Nema, and say the following Lachash, Kihechid Yavish HaYoda, just as this hand has dried up, Niyabish Tachlaya, the Pliny by Plinissa, so should the spleen of Pliny by Plinissa dry up and then shrink and go back to the normal size. The Eloi, and if you can't do that, Nesid Binisa, then you take a fish, the Nitvie Benapcha, and roast it in a blacksmith's shop, the Nechle Bemaya de Benapcha, and eat that fish together with water, Rashi has a slightly different girsa over here roast it in the blacksmith's shop. Specifically, Rashi says using the fire, using the coals that the blacksmith uses to smelt his iron. He should eat it together with the water that the blacksmith has. The blacksmith sometimes has to put out the coals, so he has a container of water there available for the purpose. Rashi says specifically not the coals, but rather the iron. When a blacksmith has forged a piece of iron, he needs to afterwards he puts it in water to quench it, to cool it off and harden it. So he's the person after having roasted the fish in the with the coals that the blacksmith uses, then he should eat the fish and drink together with it from that water that the blacksmith has used to quench the iron. And that'll help him. And in fact, the Gemara gives an example how strong that kind of water is. How he is it to have a shasya maya de benatha. There was a goat one time that drank this water that the blacksmith had used to quench iron. Ishtachit, and when eventually they shechted the goat, v'leishtakach lo tachla, b'chalal didn't have a spleen because the water with the iron in it had such an effect on the goat that caused the spleen to disappear completely. In modern medicine, they say the spleen is an organ, and the spleen is an organ in the body, which in modern medicine they found, among other things, it recycles the iron in red blood cells, so your body can reuse it. So maybe the idea is, I guess, that in particular the water over here, which is going to have iron in it from the inevitably molecules of iron will come off when you're quenching the iron in it. So the water has a high iron content. So maybe the idea is, why is the spleen bloated and larger than normal in the first place? Is maybe because the person doesn't have enough iron. So now you give him plenty of iron, and that'll help things get back to normal. And we're saying with this goat that drank from that water too much, that it had even more of an effect and the spleen disappeared completely. Continues the Gemara, the Eloi, and if not, if you don't have that available, lift a chavisa de chamra lishmei, then open up for him a barrel of wine, meaning in other words, he should drink lots of wine, and that'll help him as well. So Rav Acha Breda Rav Ashi says, then what do you need that? I mean, everybody knows that wine is a good medicine. If the guy had barrels of wine available in the first place, he wouldn't even come before you, Rebbe, because there'd be no reason to. He'd know that wine is a good remedy for lots of different things. So Ella, Margul, the past chakras, rather, if the person doesn't have wine, what he should do is he should get in the habit of eating breakfast, the malyal kula gufe, because having a past chakras, particularly means bread in the morning, is good for the whole body, and it'll be a refuah for his whole body. And the Gemara mentions in other places, in Bava Metzia and in other places, the importance of having past chakras, that it strengthens the body. Besides for the simple meaning, it also means, in other words, that since Torah is mozen for the neshama, then it talks, it's particularly, it's the idea that a person has to fortify himself with a good solid breakfast of Torah before he goes out to do his work for the day. Next, the Gemara continues, L'rush chasa, when a person is suffering from hemorrhoids, so the remedy is Lysi Akika, or Akukia, Rashi has the Givsa, which is, so Rashi gives a translation of it, which is, Acacia, that's related to the Atzi Shittim that were used to build the Mishkan. So you take some of that. Elsewhere the Gemara seems to be, Rashi defines it actually with a word which is not really a French word, it's really an Aramaic word that's mentioned in other places in Shas. It's some kind of herb. Anyway, so you take that. The ilova, and you also take ilova, which is so that's the aloe that we mentioned before, vaspircha, and you take mercury, umautcha, and dregs of silver. So Rashi describes particularly what you do is when you mine silver, so you have the ore that you boil up, or you heat up the ore in order to get out the silver. So you have the leftover stuff is called mautcha. The chumauta de piloin, you also take a chumauta, literally means a button. So a button or a round ornament or something of piloin, where you have a type of perfume or a type of fragrance called piloin. Rashi says it resembles grape leaves. Anyway, so you take all that, the shiofa de chamimta, and you take also the droppings of doves. Rashi gives two explanations: one is that chamimta means doves, and the other one is it means chickens. Either way, shiofa means the droppings of them. So you take all those ingredients together, the ninkat, and you put them together. You tie them together. The shachid kitne b'kaita, if it's during the summertime, you put them in worn out pieces of cotton cloth, or kitna is flax, or da'amar gufna besitva, or if it's during the winter time, then you put them in pieces of cotton cloth. The point is, Rashi says that linen is cooler, so it's more appropriate for the summer. Cotton is warmer, so that will be better for the winter. And you take all that mixture and put it inside the cloth, and you put it in that area to help cure the hemorrhoids. The Eloi, and if he doesn't have all those ingredients available, lishti shichram marka, then he should drink diluted beer, and that could also help him. Then l'shigroina, where a person has shigroina, which Rashi describes is a disease of the hips and the bottom, that whole area of the body, of the hips and the tailbone and whatever. And in modern Hebrew, they use it to mean something like arthritis. Anyway, leisipasya de munini. He should take a keli full of munini, which is the juice of small fish. So like the juice of sardines or anchovies or whatever. And then roll it 60 times on one hip and 60 times on the other hip. You take that container with this brine of fish, and you roll it on each 60 times on each hip, and that helps with that. Next, let's smirta. When a person is suffering from smirta, which is in some places in Shas, the word smirta means a fever, and in fact, further down, at the bottom we have tsimra, which means a fever. But here it's smirta, Rashi explains, means bladder stones. So a person has you have kidney stones, you also have bladder stones. They're both basically the same. They're similar kinds of things you have where minerals that are supposed to come out with the urine instead precipitate and form stones, and eventually they can block the person's urinary tract and cause them pain. So for that, what you do is nasi tlas netufisa mishcha de kufra. Take 3 drops of the oil of tar, which is basically turpentine that's extracted from tar, or tlas netufisa itzra de kauti, and you also take 3 drops of juice squeezed out of leeks. Or tlas netufisa de chamra nekida, and 3 drops of clear white wine. The lishdila, the ishba amach, or the isha ba'isamakim. If the person who's suffering from the smirta, from these urinary stones, is a man, then you take all of that and inject it into the ama, into his male organ, or the isha ba'isamakim. And similarly, if it's a woman, then you inject it into that area, into her urinary tract. The eloy, and if not, if you can't get those ingredients, leisi una de zika. Then you take a you take the handle of a flask. You have a zika is like a bag, like a leather bag that's used for holding liquids or whatever. So you take the handle of that. The ishba amu, the ishba badadin. So then, if it's a man suffering from these bladder stones, then you take that handle and you hang it from his aver. Well, the ishba badadin. If it's a woman, you hang it from her breasts. The eloy, and if not, if you can't get that, leisi chuta de zahorisa de shadate duma bas duma. Take a string of red wool that was spun by a Duma, the daughter of a Duma. So the Gemara in other places mentions, we learned about in Yevamos, for example, or in Sota, we learned that a Duma is a woman who's suspected of Znus. Duma means, we learned over there, the word Duma comes from a word that means rumors, because rumors are always being spread about such a woman. So here you have a woman who herself does that, and her mother was also suspect of that. And she spun this thread. So you take that piece of thread, the little ishba amo, the ishba dadin. And again, if it's a man suffering from these stones, you hang it around his aver. And if it's a woman, you hang it from her breasts. The eloy, and if you don't have that available, lacy kina de zocher in the kava, then you take a louse from a man and a louse from a woman. So in other words, you find a man who has lice and you take a louse from him, and you find a woman who has lice and you do the same thing. You take those two. And again, you hang them for a man, you hang it from his aver. For a woman, you hang it from oisemakim, from her private parts. And then when the person is using that remedy involving the lice, when the person is going to urinate, nashtin asisne yveshta btsinoda dedasha, then he should davka urinate on a dry thorn bush at the hole for the socket of the door, where the hinge of the door turns in the door, you have doors in those days were made with hinges that on the top and bottom, which fit into holes in the lintel of the door and in the threshold. So here, the person should take a dry thorn bush and put it there by the socket of the door hinge and urinate over that. Then he should pay attention to the stone that comes out. When he urinates, the stone will come out from his body, and he should hold on to it. Demalyal kulot simra. It's very good as a remedy for all kinds of fevers. Which brings us now to remedies for fevers. Let simra bara. When a person is suffering from an external fever, meaning that meaning in other words that his skin temperature is high, but it's not necessarily that his internal body temperature is high. Here the Gaonim explain that simura actually is similar to what we said just now. Simauta is stones, but you have sometimes they can be bora, they can be towards the outside, like they're already in the ureter, they're already about to come out of the body. Versus you have the Gemara is going to mention soon gava, which is where they're on the inside, where they're closer to the kidneys or the bladder or whatever. So that's how the Gaonim explain it. But Rashi over here understands simura as meaning fever. So simura bara then would be an external fever. The person's skin is hot, but they don't have a high internal body temperature. So then, lacy tlosa grivi sufli, he should get 3 saw of date pits, or tlosa grivi atraf adora, and 3 saw of leaves of an adar tree. An adar tree is different in modern Hebrew. They use it to mean a maple. In Gemara terminology, it seems to mean a type of juniper or whatever. It says some kind of important tree. The Gemara elsewhere mentions they would use it as a landmark. So you take 3 saw of leaves from that. V'nishlokinu kochad l'chudei, cook the date pits and leaves separately. V'leisa binayu, afterwards, after they've cooked, the person with the fever should sit between the two pots. V'lisvinu b'tauti m'shikli, then he should put the 2 concoctions into two separate containers, two separate bowls. V'nesi pasoda, bring a table. V'nanach ilavei, put the 2 bowls on the table. Then he should sit first on top of one of the bowls and then get up from above that and sit on top of the other one and go back and forth ad nesek behevla until he feels and until he sweats and heat is coming out of his body. Then he should wash using the hot water that are in these bowls, and when he drinks from that water, the Gemara in Shabbos mentions that after a person has bathed in hot water, it's good to drink from some of that hot water. So then the water that he should drink, he should only drink from the one where the adra leaves were cooked. But he should not drink from the one where the date pits were cooked, because they can cause him to become infertile. Then with simra gavna, and then another one when a person has an internal fever. So here we're talking about where the fever is on the inside of the body. So then lacy shiva buni de silka. Then what you should do is you should take 7 fistfuls of beets, mishev mishari, that grew in 7 different garden plots, vinishlokino bafrayu, cook them together with the dirt that came off that came off them when they were pulled out of the ground. Keep in mind, beets, of course, are a root, so they're going to have dirt stuck to them. So don't wash off the dirt. Cook them with the dirt on them. V'nechol, and then eat them. V'nishti atraf adra b'shichra, and then he should drink to go with them. He drinks leaves of adra, again leaves of the adra tree, whatever it is, mixed with that are soaked in beer. Or he should drink from grapes that from grapes from a grapevine that is being held up by a palm tree. Grapevines by themselves, if you let them grow without having them hold on to something, they'll just sprawl over the ground. So usually they trellis them. Usually they have them held up by something. In this case, you have them held up by a palm tree, b'mayim, mixed with water, and that will help for this. That'll help for this internal fever. Another one, the chazazisa, when a person is suffering from chazazis, so it actually translates it as yalefes, where the Gemara elsewhere explains that the type of boils where it's dry on the inside of the body and moist on the outside. So it's very difficult to cure. So lacy shev chiti avzanyosa, so you should take 7 large grains of 7 large grains of wheat, v'niklinu amorachabda, burn them on a new shovel, so a new iron shovel, which is not rusty or whatever. The nafik mishchaminayu, then oil will come oozing out of them when he cooks them like that. And then he should take that oil and rub it on the nishuf, and he should rub that oil on the boil. Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, Ovedei Lahu Oved Kechavim, L'davar Acher. In fact, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi did this one time for a goy who was suffering from Davar Acher, from Tsaras, the Itzi, and the goy was cured. Now, Tosfos points out, we have a din in Masechta Avodah Zarah that you're really not supposed to cure a goy. Now, nowadays, that may not apply, among other things, because we live a lot among the goyim, and there would be a problem of Eva, there'd be a problem that it would cause tremendous anti-Semitism if we didn't treat them, and besides which, most of them are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and there's various other heterim. But in any case, so here, Tosfos says, so how is Rav Shimi Ba'ashi curing this goy? So Tosfos gives a couple of explanations. One is that he's doing it in order to practice this way. Rav Shimi Ba'ashi will practice on the goy, and this way he'll know how to use the same treatment in the future if he needs to use it to cure a yid. Another possibility is that the goy knew that Rav Shimi Ba'ashi knows this remedy, and therefore, again, you have the problem of Eva. If he doesn't treat him, it's one thing. In other words, when the goy may not know, then you could say, okay, you know, I don't know how to do this, so leave me alone. But if Shimi Ba'ashi was known to have the cure for this, then if he doesn't treat the goy, then there'd be the problem of Eva, and that would be a problem. And then also Tosfos says, listen, you know, there we're talking about, for example, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that, for example, a Jewish midwife is not allowed to assist at the birth of a goy, because eventually that kid is going to grow up to worship Avodah Zarah. So here Tosfos says maybe that's not such an issue. Tosfos doesn't say why, but maybe the idea is because the guy is already an adult, and maybe because anyway this Yalefis may not be something that's necessarily going to prevent him from living anyway. It's just going to be bothersome. So maybe therefore it's less of an issue. Another possibility, of course, is that the goy wasn't somebody who worshipped Avodah Zarah, and then you have a heter for it as well. So there's a number of different possibilities how he did that. Again, nowadays, especially, you know, a person is a doctor, you know, he has a license and all that, he can't very well get away with only treating some people. It would cause tremendous problems and tremendous anti-Semitism. So in general, this halacha of not curing a goy doesn't apply nowadays. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
What about on Shabbos?
What about on Shabbos? So that's a different question, actually. So in principle... Okay. The Gemara tells us in principle in Avodah Zarah over there that, again, in principle, it would be that you wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos to save a goy's life, because, again, what's the reason why we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save a life is Kadesh Yishma Shabbos is Harvey, and that doesn't apply to a goy. On the other hand, again, because of the problem of Eva, therefore, pretty much all, I think all poskim say that nowadays or in later times that doesn't apply. And in fact, when you have, you know, Hatzalah is called, whether on Shabbos or weekday, or a doctor has to be a resident in a hospital or whatever, then he does whatever it takes. For a Jew or for a goy, you have, let's say, for example, I think a couple of years back when that building in Surfside collapsed, so people were working to pull out bodies from there on Shabbos as well, because, again, you know, you can't, in theory, you could make that excuse, but in practice, nobody's going to accept it, and it would cause tremendous Eva, and therefore there's a heter to be Mechal Shabbos, there's a heter to a certain extent to be Mechal Shabbos for a goy as well. But the actual details of that you need to ask. The actual details of that you need to ask a poser.
Yeah, well, I did actually. I'm not mentioning who, but and the poser told me that under no condition could I be Mechal Shabbos to treat a goy on Shabbos.
I see. Okay. Well, like I said, most poser.
I mean, it has been a tremendous source of Agmas Nefesh, actually.
I hear. I don't know. As far as I know Rav Moshe, I think, writes about it and says that's mutter, and I believe most other poskim do as well. So it'd be interesting to see on what basis your Rav said different, but I don't know. All right.
Well, when we have the time, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. All right.
But the halacha is that you're allowed to be Mechayel Shabbos for a goy?
As far as I know, the generally accepted halacha is that you're allowed to, but again, you know, obviously your rov passing differently. I don't know, but I haven't really looked thoroughly into this, because, you know, it's generally not negated to me, but as to the best of my knowledge, most poskim do allow it, but I don't know.
Is that